Mercy Multiplied is a ministry that is really interested in people living a life of freedom and freedom from things that have a tendency to bind us and control us and maybe even enslave us. Tell us just a little bit about the ministry to start it off today, Leela.
Mercy Multiplied has been around for 37 years. They're out of Nashville, Tennessee, and they provide residential treatment free of charge to women all over with life-controlling issues, you know, breaking strongholds. And so they started an outreach program a few years ago, and we jumped in on that to reach out to your community to, you know, teach people, you know, the keys to freedom and how to walk in freedom and the freedom that Christ died to give us, you know, and it's an important lesson, and we're here to share it with everybody.
And Mercy does not just work with women. You also work with men. You do have a Keys to Freedom Bible study, which we've talked about on past programs. You'll let us know when one of those might be coming up soon. And I now want to introduce Tia and Marie. Tia, you told us the last time you were on the show that you got to know some of these ladies with Mercy Multiplied and that it's really changed your life. And Marie is not a freedom advocate, but she's the person that's kind of been mentoring and discipling you.
Yes, that's correct, Jim. I got involved with Leela and Mercy Multiplied, I think in 2021 is when we finally met. I had heard of her, though, in 2018. It just took me a couple years to reach out and a lot of nudging from the Lord. Now, Marie is from a Bible study that I do on Tuesday mornings, and she is the leader of this wonderful study in her home. And a group of her and my mother's friends fasted and prayed for me to come home when I was on the streets in Durango, Colorado in 2012. So I started going to that Bible study when I came here. And fast forward to 3 years ago, Marie approached me about a mentorship relationship. And the rest has been history. I was in my first trimester pregnant with my little three-year-old girl now. And Marie took me under her wing and said that I was stuck with her forever, which is such a blessing, such a blessing in my life.
Okay, so here's what Leela told me in the notes for today. She said, we consider ourselves ambassadors of freedom, and we want to talk about what that means, but more specifically from a perspective of relationships. Discipling and mentoring are passing on what we hold ourselves. We are taught that you can't give away what you don't carry. So I want to go right to Marie and say, would you tell us how you met Tia and how your relationship developed?
Well, I would just ditto what Tia said of how we met. I knew her mom first, and we did fast and pray for Tia before I knew her. And then when she came to Bible study the first day, I just remember, like, she didn't know Jesus at that point personally, but was so excited to be there. But the day that our relationship as mentor-mentee officially started, I was in my car and got a text from Tia about that she was pregnant with Precious Sevi. And I just felt like the Lord told me that we needed to be a mentor and mentee. And so I called her and asked her, and she agreed. And it's just been a great relationship. As far as passing on what you don't carry, I would want to give credit to my mentor. I have had a mentor for about 27 years now, and she's the most fabulous lady. For probably 3 years, she met with me once a week for about 4 hours and taught me the Bible, taught me how to walk with Jesus, how to be a wife and a mom. And so I think a lot of what I have to pass on is because she passed what she had on to me first.
Tia, what was your mom telling Marie about you during that 3 years they were praying and fasting for you?
I think she wasn't saying that much during a 3 year period. It was more they saw in my mom a real sadness one particular day leaving Bible study.
So your mom was worried about you.
She was worried, but she wasn't actually saying anything. out in the open to many people. And I think that but these ladies that know her so well, and they've prayed for each other for years, they said something's wrong with Lois, and something, we got to go talk to her. And they brought her back in, and she expressed to them her concern for where I was at and what I was doing in Durango. And at that point, they fasted and prayed for 3 days, and it was within about, I would say, a month before I was home.
Now, you shared with us in a previous context,
yes,
a previous program, that you owned a home,
mm-hmm,
you were doing great, and then all of a sudden you were on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And that would make any
parent... I don't know
about
the doing great part, but I was looking great. I was faking it pretty great. I had a job. I had a house. I am downtown Durango, a little house, not one of those big ones on Historic Boulevard, but it was a great house. And I just couldn't keep up with working for a corporate business and my drug addiction. And so the boyfriend was gone, then the house was gone, and then it just got really cold there, so I tail-tucked, came running home. I did not want to come home. I did not want to go to Marie's house for Bible study. I didn't want to do a lot of things, but in order to live in my parents' house, there were some requirements, which was obviously good.
So you said you were faking it. You were hiding it.
Absolutely.
So what's changed now from the time you were hiding and faking things to where now you're just an open book and you're telling everybody on the radio about yourself?
It's really scary. I was even talking to Marie about it last week, that, you know, just secrets manifest. They always come out, and they hold power over you when they stay hidden. Mm-hmm. And part of the biggest part of the most important part, excuse me, of Marie and I's relationship is from the very start, the very first time that we met together at a restaurant for lunch, she said, here's the deal. Here's what this means. We can't ever lie to each other. And you may have said some other things too, and you often pay for my lunch, almost always. But that was
part of the deal.
It's part of the deal. So I get a really good end of the deal. But when she looked at me and said that, I realized in that moment that I have this woman that I totally admire that I am going to have to be honest with completely. And there is no way I could ever look her in the eye and lie to her. It just, the relationship wouldn't work. And there's been some really hard conversations we've had to have over the last 3.5 years that I didn't want to have with her. But when I hear her say, I'm going to ask you a pointed question, I know that truth, you know, needs to come out completely. And so that is why the relationship is successful and what has made it what it is today.
I'm going to read a verse from Hebrews 12:11. It says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Another translation says, discipline is never pleasant, but it yields for those who have trained by it. Afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Mm-hmm. And you're speaking to people that may be in the same situation you were in some time ago, and now your life has changed. Because Marie's invested in you, you've gotten some great friendships with Leela and Jody and others with Mercy Multiplied. So, Leela, come to us now and tell us, what is an ambassador of freedom?
Well, Jim, you know, I'm just going to read a scripture to you, 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And an ambassador is just following our orders, you know, just being the voice that tells you about Jesus, you know, maybe for the first time. And maybe it's the voice that tells you about a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's someone that walks alongside of you like Marie has walked alongside of Tia, you know, or someone just to listen when you need someone to talk to. When, you know, maybe you've lost a friend, you know, or someone close to you or even a mentor. You know, those are times when you just need someone to talk to you, and that's what an ambassador of freedom does. You know, points out to you that what Christ has done for us, what it meant when Christ died on the cross. You know, what was the price that he paid, and why did he pay it, and what was he paying it for? And it was for our freedom. And I don't think a lot of us understand exactly what that means, you know. And so that's what we're here, you know, for. That's what ambassadors do. They're going to, you know, they're going to spread that word, be that ambassador for Jesus Christ.
I'm going to go back to your free lunch that Marie was buying from you. The truth is there is no free lunch, because she was buying your lunch, but she was also requiring you to do some things, which it sounds like she did, Marie.
Yes, Tia has always been very receptive and willing to be honest and to dive in and do the hard work. And, you know, and most of that involves being in Scripture and spending time with the Lord. And I really admire her for that. And I think one of the great things about being a mentor is, you know, so many times we think, oh, God's asked me to do this and I'm really going to bless this other person by doing it. And really, God's wanting to bless me as well. And so that's, I've learned so much from Tia. And I think one of the greatest things that I've learned through our relationship is how important it is to recognize that walking with the Lord is a process. And because Tia has, you know, gone along great and then stumbled a little bit and then gone along great and stumbled a little bit. And she's really tends to beat herself up in those stumbling moments. And I just feel like through the Holy Spirit, I've been able to encourage her that it's a process. You know, like she heard the Holy Spirit prompting her earlier in the stumbling process than she had 3 years ago, you know, just for an example. And
There's people listening right now that haven't ever told anybody. They've been hiding. They've been lying. They've been whatever it is. They've been covering it up. Maybe it's substance abuse. Maybe it's an addiction to drugs or pornography or whatever. They're embarrassed to tell anybody because they think they're going to be heaped judgment upon them. But that's not really what happens, is it?
No.
I think the more I'm learning about being honest with Marie, with other groups of women that are struggling, because everyone is broken and we're all just broken in different ways. And you can reach people on a deeper level when you're able to be transparent with them. You can reach them on a level that you can pray for them more intimately. And you just, when you let people get to know who you are and see the process that you're going through and the change that you're trying to get to and that you're not perfect, that's how you can relate with people in general and show them love.
This isn't on my little list, but I'll ask all three of you. You're all three in relationships with other women in addition to your spouses if you're married. So you have fellowship all the time. You're not isolated.
Yes.
Do you think that women in particular have a tendency to be isolated? Like even if you have four children and you're taking care of your husband and your children every day, you are kind of isolated, aren't you, if you're not fellowshipping with other people?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that you have to be intentional about this. You have to make time for it. And, you know, I think that there's responsibility on both sides of the mentor and the mentee, and I think that's absolutely right, that both benefit. It's blessings for both parties. And, you know, getting started in a relationship like that, just for an example, I'll give you an example of my own. I have two different mentors, and the reason how that came about was I was praying for someone to come to be an accountability partner to myself. You know, I was early in my sobriety, and I just felt that I needed a good Christian woman come alongside of me, someone I could talk to. I've been praying about this, and God said, you know, here's Jody's answer to your prayers. Well, so, you know, I was like, really, Lord, you got to be kidding. She's like maybe 6 years older than my children. I'm serious.
I know.
You know, she's like the age of my children, and I was just like that. I laughed probably, you know, but I was obedient, and I met with Jody, and just at that time, something happened within my family where I needed resources. And Jody had all of the resources because she had been through something like that before. And then within 2 weeks, I got an email from Carol Ryman, And, you know, she's just been someone that I just admire and I love dearly and have developed a relationship with. And so God has given me what I desired, which was the woman to walk alongside of me that is older than I am. You know, because that's not easy to do at my age, find someone older than you.
Okay, so we're going to come back in 2 minutes. We're going to say thank you to our sponsors. But when we come back, I'm going to ask you all three this question. If somebody right now wants to be fellowshipping with other women, is that an opportunity they have if they just make themselves available? Don't answer. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. We're with Marie France, Tia Lorenzen, and Mercy Multiplied Freedom Advocate, Leela Armstrong. Ladies, great first segment. But I guess what I wanted to get at now is we're kind of talking to maybe two different people in two different stages of life, maybe. We're talking to people that may be hurting and they need a mentor, but they're afraid to talk about their hurts. And hopefully they're going to overcome that feeling maybe of shame or whatever and realize that God will really use them talking to somebody in a mighty way, maybe even down the road, like God's using Tia to minister to all of us today. And I think all of us in some way have that openness. Leela has shared with us her substance abuse kinds of issues, and obviously she's been a tremendous blessing through Mercy Multiplied. The other population you're talking to are women that, man, maybe they need to get out there and be a mentor. Would you say that you're really calling people to help you with this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the more people that we can get that would be willing to be trained in this, you know, going through the Keys to Freedom, I think it's important. You said let us know when another class is coming up. You don't have to wait for a class to come up. You know, we have women that are available that will go through that with you one-on-one, or however you need to go through it. And so, you know, whether you don't have to do it with a small group, you can do it with just one person.
How do people reach out to you? Is that NewMexicoForMercy.com?
NewMexicoForMercy.com. They can find us through our website. They can email us at NewMexicoForMercy@gmail.com. Okay, and we'll respond right away. But there's a connect on the website that they can find us, NewMexicoForMercy.com.
Off the air, we were talking a little bit, Marie. Did you actually go through the Keys to Freedom Bible study?
I did, actually. I had never heard of Mercy Multiplied, and Tia told me that she met these ladies. I hadn't ever heard of them, and that she was going to do this Bible study with them. And I feel like part of my responsibility with Tia is making sure that what she dives into is biblically accurate. And so I ordered the book and went through the Bible study, and I would just give a huge plug for it. It's a great Bible study. It's very biblically sound, and it's really great at pointing people toward freedom, not just with addictions. I mean, it can be freedom from bitterness, resentment.
Yeah. Marie, I'm going to ask you a question, and this kind of has to do with some of the training at Mercy, which I know you haven't gone through, but you've probably experienced this. Is it easy to understand the weight of change is on the person you're helping and not on you?
No.
It's not easy.
Not at all. No. I mean, especially once you really start caring for the person that you're helping, and if you are any sort of control freak like I am, you know, I want to step in there and do it for Tia or other ladies. But we absolutely can't do that. And it is absolutely not our burden to carry. We just have to come alongside and keep pointing them to Christ and praying. Prayer's powerful. And be continual encouragement to get back up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tia, what's one of the step backs that Marie was describing earlier?
Well, Jim, my addiction was a really long, has been a really long battle, and there's been levels of how deep it's gone. And I compared myself to an onion last time, and we're still getting to that pretty shiny middle part, right? So, you know, there's just been certain setbacks. So we'll get rid of something completely, and then another thing will surface. And whether that's alcohol, I still want to smoke an occasional cigarette. I want, you know, and I hate that about myself. I'm telling everybody that I hate that. But it happens. So, I mean, it's going to be, walking in freedom is going to be a lifelong process, but I am truly hoping, you know, to continue to have victory over these different layers.
Okay, so Marie's going to maybe chime in on this one, but here's another question for you, Tia. Did you ever try to hand your responsibilities for the stuff going wrong in your life to other people?
No, not really. Fortunately, I went to rehab when I was 27, so I'm 43. And they very much, the thing I did glean from that was you've got to take accountability for your behavior. So I think I've nailed that in actually almost not too far, but there is nobody else that I could ever blame for my behavior. By the time I met Marie, and that I was 33 then, and then by the time we got going into mentorship, I'm 38. So I really knew that the work, I'd done enough counseling, enough programs, outpatient. I mean, like I said, this has been a really long process trying to get free and stay free, right?
Are there people that have gone through a long process and have still not found freedom?
Probably, yeah.
And what would you say to them?
Get up again. Never quit quitting. Get up again. There's hope. There's hope. You can do it.
I think things resurface, Jim. I think one of the lessons that we teach is on forgiveness. And I think that there's a good point here. You know, you can walk in forgiveness, and then something can happen years down the road that just triggers that memory again. And it's just that you need to go back, revisit it, re-forgive. You've got to give it up again. And, you know, and that's okay, because that's a process too. So, you know, there's everywhere we look, it's all about the process. It's all about a process. So no one's expecting an immediate change right now, you know, but we all know that change takes time. And what we're really looking for, and, you know, this is our mantra, we're not looking for behavior modification. We are looking for heart transformation, you know, and so that transforming of the heart, you know, it takes place as we put God's word in our heart, as we learn to really take it in, really learn to live it. You know, every day we want to be in our Bible, you know, the things that we have to stay in fellowship with other. You have to be intentional about these things.
I know we've talked about treatment versus transformation. Is that a real thing?
That's a real thing. It's a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're all nodding. Tell me. I mean, have you had transformation, Tia?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And it's continuing. And that's the wonderful thing about a relationship with Jesus. He's never going to leave you where you're at. He is faithful to keep working on that good work that he started in me. I didn't start this work in me. Jesus did. If this was up to Tia, we'd still be doing all sorts of crazy, horrible things. Jesus started this work in me, and he's faithful to complete it until the day I get to see him, and I can hold on to that. Nothing can take that away from me, and nothing can take away that I'm a child of God.
How would you address maybe somebody that hasn't been to church before, and they may be listening now going, boy, I like what they have to say, but I'm not a very religious person.
Neither am I.
Well,
I'm not either.
Marie, what do you say to somebody that's not been involved in a church and they use that word religious? Because they really do mean something different.
Yes. I think that, I hate to use just Christianese too, but it's about relationship with Jesus. It's not about religion about Jesus. And I think that that's one of the things that can really easily be hidden by just trying to get somebody to go to church. Going to church is good, but you can easily miss the relationship part with Jesus by just going to church. And so I guess that I would encourage somebody to get in their Bible for themselves. I would encourage them to call out to God and say, are you really real? Like, if you are, show me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guarantee you, God will show you that he is.
Yeah. And bring people into your life to encourage you in that journey.
In that journey, and also to help you find that church, Jim, because, I mean, maybe it doesn't start in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it starts in someone's home, and you get that encouragement. But it's a process, and Jesus will bring you to that point where you will start to look for a church because you will desire it, because you desire that home. And that's when you know, that's when it's heart transformation.
Maybe Tia wants to chime in on this question, Leela, but what's the difference between willingness and readiness?
Ooh, that's still a tough one.
Yeah, well, there is a difference. You know, you can be willing as you were willing, you know, but when you're really ready, but you said you were willing, but you didn't want to go to Marie's house.
You know, that's right.
You didn't want to come back to Albuquerque.
That's right.
You didn't want to do those things. You were willing to do those things, so you weren't ready for that transformation at that point, at that time. You weren't ready. You were willing to do the things that your parents wanted you to do. You were willing to continue to go to Marie's house.
I don't think you can be ready without being willing, and I guess continual willingness will prayerfully bring on some readiness. That's what I'm holding on to.
That's a good quote there, Tia.
All right.
Yes, you have to walk in obedience.
Yes.
And, you know, and then that readiness will come. But you have to, you know, sometimes you have to stick with it. You have to be, you know, you have to use that strong will that God gave us for good.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And
obedience is what I was thinking about, too, that part of falling in love with Jesus is you want to obey him. And I know in my life there's been times that I've done things because I'm willing to obey Jesus, mm-hmm. but not really because I was ready to forgive.
Mm. Good point.
And in walking out in obedience, he finally brought me to the place where I was ready.
Yeah. I've had some interesting conversations with a number of people. You would think that somebody that is divorced, and I've been apart from my ex-wife for 10 years, you would think somebody like that wouldn't be able to speak into the lives of people that are married. But unusually, God has used me in a really, really strange way. At least to me, it's kind of strange because I've been able to tell people the things that I did wrong and speak into their lives. And they can't get away with anything with me because I already know what they're doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And for some reason, that openness kind of changes their hearts. Like, for example, recently I had a woman very angry at her ex-husband, and she actually used the word, he is my enemy. And I said, oh, good, I'm glad you said that, because how does the Bible say we should treat our enemies? Jesus himself said, you have heard it said you should hate your enemies and love your neighbor, but I say you should love your enemies. We'll leave this segment with that, and we'll be back with a little bit more with Leela Armstrong, Marie Franz, and Tia Lorenzen. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. For 45 years, Hope Christian School has been helping students explore God's world and discovering their place in it. From preschool through high school, Hope offers advanced academics, championship athletics, and comprehensive arts program, all founded on non-denominational Christian worldview. Applications are now being accepted for the 2022-23 school year. Learn more at hopechristianschool.org and our Facebook and Instagram pages.
The largest investment for a family is their home. For decades, Carlos Griego and the team at Bosque Home Services has been taking care of houses. Now, here is Carlos talking with Jim Williams about some of the most common issues homeowners need to know about.
You made a statement to me in prior shows about how efficient a swamp cooler is compared to refrigerated air. I think the analysis was 20 degrees lower than the temperature outside.
That's one of the best swamp coolers in the world. We'll get you a 20 degree.
So if it's 100 outside, you're going to still be 80 in your house, even if your swamp cooler is working ideally.
Right, but it's the process of evaporation, so it feels a lot cooler than you think it is. There's a thing called temperature, and then there's a thing called sensible temperature.
Bosky Home Services, online at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200. That's HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200.
At Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, we believe that children are truly a gift from God. That's why we open our arms and our hearts to children who have been abused, neglected, or abandoned. Children who are hurt and scared. Although we have lots of love to give, care also takes dollars. You can help provide a safe haven for these children by making a tax-deductible donation online at acchkids.org or by calling us at 898-5520.
From the KLYT broadcast studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C, 505-372-0086, or online at snmacherdental.com.
I never know what I'm going to get. They say you shouldn't ask a question unless you know the answer. Well, I never know the answers to any of these questions. That's why I find it so interesting. Leela, on our list today, you said there's seven people you can't help yet.
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 Yes. We want to make sure we get the yet in there.
Who are those seven types of people?
Well, I'll just list them. Okay. There's people that will refuse to accept that they have a problem, you know, because that is the first step, is that you've got to recognize that you have a problem.
Now, I don't want to pick on Tia, but she kind of said that she was acting a certain way and looking very successful.
Yeah.
Would you have been in that category here at that
time?
Yeah,
definitely.
That time in your life?
I did not. I knew, but I did not want to. Knowing and admitting are different things.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
That's true. And then there's always those people that think you are the problem. You know, maybe you've had to speak into someone's life. You know, it's scriptural. You know, when we see someone, and oftentimes this is in the church, and you try to, you know, address the problem. And they say, I don't have a problem except for you bothering me about this. Mm. Right. And so they think you are the problem.
That's kind of common with alcohol abuse, I think.
Oh, yeah.
People think everybody around them's judging them, and you'll see symptoms like they're not getting to work on time, they're staying up too late, they're not very efficient, they start to have health issues. I mean, there's just a myriad of things, and if you love somebody,
you talk to them.
You
about
talk
it.
To them, and you bring it right to them. That's not judging.
No, it's not judging at all. But
that's telling them the truth.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then there's people who constantly justify wrong decisions. And this goes to blaming it on other people. When you were saying, asking, you know, putting the responsibility for change on somebody else, you know.
I think this happens in Santa Fe in the legislature, which is over today, all the time. I didn't mean to say that, I guess.
That's okay. We all need to laugh once in a while. Those who refuse to accept the scriptural solution to their problem. So, you know, in our work, you know, it's like, well, you know, I want someone to walk alongside of me, but I don't really believe in the Bible or anything that the Bible says. And, you know, those are people that you can't help yet. We just need to remember to pray for these people. And because I don't really have anything else to offer them except for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's the bottom line. And so, you know, you should have a list of referrals, and you should have some secular counselors in that list, and, you know, be able to, you know, point them in the direction and continue to pray for them and for their salvation. But you won't be able to help them with the tools that we have. And then there are those that won't invest in themselves at a greater level than you invest in them. And this is, you know, doing the work for them. Right. We can't do the work for them.
I want to go to Marie now, though. Did Tia invest in herself at a greater level than you did?
Absolutely.
You've just invested in me so much. I can't imagine. I'm sitting here shaking my head. No way.
I couldn't believe you were shaking your head.
She has just, this relationship has just showered me in God's blessing. And this, I just,
I'll give you an example, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Tia has memorized all of Romans 8.
Okay. I love it.
That's big.
Lots and lots of other scriptures. So just to name one thing that she's done where I would say absolutely she's invested in herself and her relationship with the Lord a lot more.
You guys keep talking about the Bible, that old ancient document that's not relevant for today.
It's very relevant.
People think that, though.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they have all of these, I'll call them parroting objections to scripture, and they don't realize that it is timeless truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's simple. People always tell me when I use the word simple, they say, oh, you told us it was easy. No, I said it was simple. And some simple things are pretty hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. Discipline is never pleasant. That scripture I read earlier, Hebrews 12:11. It doesn't mean that doesn't take some effort, but it's not complicated. It's not like this, you know, it's not like calculus that you had in high school. At least that was really hard, complicated for me.
I would really encourage any listeners that haven't been in scripture for a long time or have never wanted to open the Bible, just give it a try and just open it right into the middle and go into the Psalms. And it just is such relatable, beautiful material that can relate to the heart condition of a human struggling and how to come up and out of that. And it's very beautiful stuff. And that's kind of where I started, because I did not want Jesus to be the answer.
Yeah.
Truly. 9 years ago when I came back here, I wanted anything else to be the answer. I wanted especially myself to be able to pull myself out. So
Marie said earlier that this is a process. So number 6 on the list of people you can't help is?
Those who refuse to invest in the time for change. So it's going to take time. This process that we're talking about, you know, you've got to be willing to invest the time in it. And
what if you've spent 10 years being an alcoholic? How long is it going to take to recover? It's not going to take 20, is it?
Well, it didn't me, but, you know, I suppose it could for some people. I think recovery, you know, that word recovery, we're all recovering, Jim, and every day. You know, and it's an ongoing process, what you're recovering from, you know, whether it is bitterness or, you know, it's unforgiveness or whatever the process may be. At any given time, we're all recovering from something.
Yeah.
And we all need to know, you know, where is that foundation? Where do we find that strength to go on, you know, when we feel like we can't anymore? And, you know, that person may not be available, that mentor, mentee. And so their job is to connect you with the one that can be there 24/7, 365.
Monday, we were talking about relationships because it was Valentine's Day on the show here. And my daughter, Abby, who's engineering the program, was one of the guests on the program. And she was giving us, we were talking about dating before marriage, dating after marriage. We had a young married couple. And Abby was giving her perspective on dating as a single person. And they were all talking about relationships and how you can't allow a relationship to take you away from your calling and that you needed to protect your calling. Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's a problem when you can't get people out of relationships that are really hurting them.
Yeah, they keep returning to the same relationships or the beliefs or the behaviors that harm them. So, you know, these people have to, that's that readiness and willingness thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're willing, but they're not ready because they keep going back. They keep going back. They can't keep going back. You know, one of the things that I learned early on in, you know, wanting to be sober was to, that you'll have to have a new circle of friends. And that would be the one word of advice that I would give to a person that was seeking change in their life would be, you know, who are you walking with? Who are you hanging out with? You know, you will be like the people that you hang out with.
Hmm.
And it's just, it's a human thing. We just do that.
Yeah, and I've actually seen some examples where people have gotten out of a friend group, and they've surrounded themselves with people that are for them,
mm-hmm.
and not just concerned with themselves. And then I've slowly seen the old friends come mm-hmm. into this new group and be totally changed. Mm-hmm. I've seen that a couple of different times, and I think it's an amazing thing. Tia, are you surprised how God is working through your own experience and struggles to encourage other people?
Yeah, absolutely. I was terrified and really nervous to come on in December, and I just thought, you know, I'm not 100% fixed yet, so I'm really not ready to be used in any way, Lord.
And if we were all waiting to come on the radio when we were 100% fixed, there would be dead air.
Well, and so I think it's just a thrill of hope, really, that you can be used in your brokenness and whatever you're walking through, to be able to relate to somebody who could be in the same situation. And it's just, it's humbling to think that I could bring glory to God or speak into someone's life. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you. You're blessing us tremendously. We have one more segment with Lila, Marie, and Tia. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, this is Jim Williams, host of ABQ Connect, broadcast live Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock p.m. We talk with authors, musicians, pastors, politicians, teachers, business people, husbands, wives, parents, counselors, athletes, doctors, nutritionists, coaches, and a lot more flavors of people living a life of faith. Please join us. I think you will be encouraged as you hear our guests open up about their own lives and how faith directs their service and love for people. Join us on ABQ Connect Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock or listen to the program podcast 24/7 at abqconnect.online.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Pastors in Central Asia are teaching children the gospel despite it being illegal in their country. In fact, it is against the law to teach religion to children under the age of 18. But as followers of Christ, these pastors know the importance of teaching children about the Bible and God from an early age. And so at great personal risk, these dedicated leaders hold camps for the children of both Christian and Muslim families. Please pray for the safety of the leaders and for the children to take to heart lessons and activities that teach them about God and His Son.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians, go to vomradio.net.
Saturday nights at 8 and Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. The new show, Tracks of Light.
Get your eyes, see another world.
Don't you need to me again.
Don't walk away as if you've never hurt you now.
We trace back where we got on track with the light of Christ. Tracks of Light, locally sponsored by theplaceilike.com.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
It's been a special day today to learn about the mentoring relationship that Tia has had with Marie Franz and how that's developed and all the dynamics involved in it. Lila Armstrong is with Mercy Multiplied and friends with these two ladies. And one of the things I'm kind of fascinated with is Marie hears Tia talking about this neat group, Mercy Multiplied. And she does the due diligence as I'll call mom mode, where she's checking you guys out. And she's already told us on the program she likes what Mercy Multiplied is doing. And now there's new friendships even in our room today developed. So, you know, the women in our community really are available to help people. And you know, I think that's true with men, too. I had recently, last week, had a show with Pastor Steve Stucker, also known as New Mexico's weatherman on KOB, along with Dennis Poper. They're co-chairs of New Mexico Men of Honor. And they have quarterly events with men from all over, all kinds of different churches. And their concept is that if men from other churches will fellowship together, they will be able to go back into their
families and their communities and make them stronger. Mm-hmm. They can glean resources and best practices and thoughts and inspiration and things that God shows them through those relationships. And of course, they're also tied to Promise Keepers, which has kind of been revived in the last couple of years. Of course, COVID put a kibosh on a lot of those big meetings where they'll bring men into a stadium. And while they're on the air, I had a woman contact me via email. And she said, why is this ministry just for men? So I brought that up to them, and they said, this ministry is for women, but we're training the men. We want the men to be the men they are supposed to be good husbands and good parents and good fathers and all of those different things. We have an initiative going on right now at KLYT called Where's Dad? And we're hoping that we can challenge men to be the men that they're supposed to be, because all of us men fall short of where God wants us to be. And we're not judging each other. We're trying to make each other better. That iron sharpens iron kind of thing. So let's talk now about maybe some things that at Mercy, Leela, when you realize that outside help is needed, not just a mentoring or discipling relationship, what do you do?
Well, to begin with, if you're going to go into this, you need to have a referral file, because this will happen. You will come in contact with someone that you just feel over your head. You don't feel equipped, and I think it's just a nudging of the Lord that professional help is needed, and to have those names of some good Christian counselors. And right now, that's a tough thing. Availability is a really tough thing here in Albuquerque right now. Getting in with counseling, you may have to call two or three. So I would, recommend people have a good number of counselors on their list. Also programs that are available. Several of the churches have really good programs that you can, maybe refer them into those. Go with them to them. I've done that before. Take them and go with them to a program, to where they can, find maybe a deeper level of help for a specific problem. Maybe you're not equipped to help with that particular problem.
Okay, now let's not sugarcoat this. There are some people that are not just doing things that the Bible says not to do, and they may be captivated by alcoholism or some other substance abuse and other kinds of addictions. But there are also people with mental illness. And we don't want them to shy away from, because they might need some help beyond a Bible study. And that's part of what Mercy Multiplied does, is it identifies, helps people identify, yeah, there's some other things needed. When it comes to counseling, we have some relationships with our radio station that are really good. Love Cornerstone LifeWorks. They're a conglomerate. I shouldn't say a conglomeration. There's some really unique individuals, let's say, that are therapists, Christian counselors, trained. I know there's Christian psychologists. And this is something that maybe the church hasn't done a great job with, where we've prayed for people, we've had good intention, but there are things that people need to address. There's medications needed sometimes. There's other kinds of treatments that are available. And these are just things that you're willing to not stop your relationship with people, but with the permission of the person, involve professionals that can help at a different level.
We certainly would walk anyone that was eligible through an application process with Mercy Multiplied if residential treatment was something that was needed. Sometimes there are people that need to be removed from the situation that they're in for various reasons, and that's when something like Mercy Multiplied, would be a good option, because it would remove you from the circumstances. I know, I have a sister that was a drug addict, and when they let her out on parole when she was, in prison, they wouldn't let her come back to the town we lived in, and that was one of the conditions of her parole. And so this isn't, this isn't something we've come up with. This just is something that is very practical. It's the same thing about changing your circle of friends. But when you're going to make those referrals, know what the programs are that are available. There's a lot of them good available. I know of Teen Challenge here, and that's here in New Mexico. And that's an adult program. And, you know, the name is Adult and Teen Challenge. They're working on changing that, and all of us are so used to Teen Challenge. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's counseling that is available. But if you're really in, someone will stick by you until you find the right answer of where it is. I mean, it's not that you say, I can't help you, and you cut them off and you let them go. That's not what we're doing here. We're going to walk with them until they find someone.
What about a woman that might be living in an unsafe situation in her home? If she calls you, what do you do?
Well, it's something I think that, you know, is a common occurrence. And, you know, you have to talk to people about what is happening in emotionally abusive relationships, whether they be a marriage or a relationship. But, you know, when we're talking about emotionally abusive relationships, you know, people have to be willing to do their part in it. And whatever that part may be, depending on the level of abuse going on and what that abuse is in a relationship. But you've got to be able to do your part. And sometimes your part is to remove yourself from that. If there's danger, if your safety is, if you're in danger, your life is in danger, even mentally, a mental breakdown. You could be on the verge of a mental breakdown because of abuse. You need to be able to remove yourself from the situation.
Yeah. Marie, you're teaching a Bible study. Do you have a number of women that you've had fellowship with for a long time?
Yes, it's a really unique group of ladies, and there's a core group that tends to return study after study. But this particular study, we have, I think it's 12 new ladies. And two of them are brand new to Bible study, which is really exciting.
Well, and you can only encourage people that there may be opportunities for them to learn and even lead a study one day.
Yes.
And that's what your mentor did with you.
Yes, she did. She got sick and said, I can't lead. So here you go.
Here you
go.
So
that was my first time.
Here's the ball. Run. Run with it. That's,
we also have a class going on right now, too, and it's the Empower Workshop. We're doing it on Monday nights over at New Covenant Church. And, you know, one session is better than no sessions. Mm-hmm. This is it talks about the different aspects of mentoring, of being able to walk alongside of someone. It's a really good program. It's the training that Jody and I received from Mercy Multiplied, and we're learning to teach it. And we're doing it in a class type situation right now.
Can people still sign up and attend that?
They absolutely can get in touch with me through the website, NewMexicoForMercy.com. Just fill out the contact sheet and we'll get you in.
Yeah. And as you've already said, it's already started, but they can jump right in and glean from it what you have remaining.
Each class stands on its own in this particular circumstance.
Yeah, and we've already mentioned the Keys to Freedom study, which there are some books that are pretty neat and easy to obtain as well.
Correct, and there's not a group study going on right now, but there are several individual studies going on. I know Jody's leading one, and Therma's leading one, we'll find someone to help you get through it if you want to. We've got plenty of books.
It's interesting that you mentioned Therma Gold, because she came on the show here in December, and she's been involved with Bible Study Fellowship, which is really a neat Bible study. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. But I got to tell you, they have homework. I don't like homework. I'm just kidding. But you learn a lot about the Bible, especially when you go through that. I know a lot of people that have done that. But then she found out about Mercy Multiplied, and separate from Bible Study Fellowship, she now has a different group of people that she is fellowshipping with and encouraging with and serving with Mercy Multiplied.
She's become a freedom advocate for Mercy Multiplied, and we're really glad to have her.
Tia, a year from now, and you're sitting in this chair, what are you going to be telling us?
I'll be sitting in this chair, so I like to hear that. Thank you. I think a year from now I would like to do the application and become a freedom advocate and potentially be learning how to walk someone through this study if there was that person that was available.
But you're also kind of learning. You're learning about being a mom.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's going to go on until forever.
let me give you a little tip about that. What's your daughter's name?
Her name is Seven Star, and we call her Sevi.
Okay, so Sevi, you're going to think to yourself, man, I'm a professional Sevi's 3 or 4 years old. I know everything about being a parent. Guess how much you know about being a parent? Because if the second child comes or the third child comes, in my case it was five, not one of your children is the same. And it's so funny that you, it's like, well, nothing I learned on number one applies to number two. You were shaking your head, yes, Marie.
Yes, absolutely.
That's funny. And you just got your, are you about to get both your kids married?
Yes, my son got married in August and my daughter's getting married in June.
Congratulations. We're so blessed to have you all here. Leela Armstrong with Mercy Multiplied and Marie Franz and Tina Lorenzen. Thank you both, or all three of you, for being here today.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having us.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.